It's episode 8.
Pete. I'm so excited. Yeah. We got our first bit of fan mail.
Oh, nice. Give it a read.
Dear Andrew and Pete, never have I ever heard such a farcical podcast. Is that a good word? Bad word?
I don't know. I'll Google it.
Okay. You call yourself professional marketers. I have more professionalism in my pinky finger than you two have between you. Please stop making your guests drool. Please quit it with the swap words in the slow fire round. You bring shame on the whole marketing community. Marketing podcasts should be respected and treasured and taken seriously. Kind regards, Joe. P.S. The scripted parts at the beginning of your podcast are cringeworthy. Please stop doing them.
Well, Joe, why don't you just go and...
In this episode, your press release is breaking Janet Murray's table, Carlos Gill gives us some hashtag real talk about sliding into DMs, and can Jen Herman handle her drink?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! It's the Andrew and Pete Show!
Hiya!
Hello!
Hello, Mike Morrison. This game is called Higher or Lower, and here's how we play.
In a game of Higher or Lower, we pit followers against subscribers against likes. How well do our contenders know the followings of top brands, people, and themselves? Guessing correctly wins a point.
It's a bit like Price is Right, Brucey.
Yes. They don't have the copyright. We can do it. Don't worry.
He's dead now, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, the copyright, so. The copyright died.
Copyright is gone. 4 hours. All right, we're going to start out with your membership mastermind Facebook group, which has an impressive 7,555 members talking about membership sites.
Nice.
That's pretty nice.
But does the Newcastle Brown Ale Drinkers group, which describes itself as the group for people who love Newcastle Brown Ale and can't stand the taste of Bud, Miller, and any other crappy American beer, have more or less members?
I'm going to say more, because Newcastle Brown Ale's lost a little bit of respect in the Northeast because they don't even make it in Newcastle. But it's like huge in America now. Like it's everywhere in America. So I'm going to say higher.
Unfortunately, it is not. There's about 10 different groups, and none of them have more than one member.
Okay. I feel like it started off with great intentions, this group, and no one joined.
It's just one guy, like, literally every day since starting that group. Why doesn't anybody want to drink Brunel with us?
We need to help him out. He needs to get with your group.
I'm getting into his group.
You could dominate that group. All right. So,
I feel like the next one might be easier.
Higher or lower? the Twitter account, We Want Plates, which tweets all about the hilarious ways that you can get your food served, which doesn't come on a plate.
I've seen that account. I spent quite a lot of time on that account once, as part of an argument with somebody about, you know, food that gets served like on the back of a lettuce leaf and stuff like that. I'm going to say higher, using my major deductive skills based on the last answer.
It does have more than one follower. Yes, it has 147,000 followers.
Yeah.
And that is a great Twitter account to check
out. Damn right. Yeah.
That is hilarious. But what about Grumpy Cat's Twitter? Is that higher or lower than We Want?
Higher, surely.
Correct.
Yay.
1.49 million. That is
Wow, man.
Popular cat. But who has a higher following? How about Donald Trump on Twitter? Does he have a higher or lower following than 1.49 million?
Well, he's got two accounts now, hasn't he? He's got the main Donald Trump one that he just, like, is destroying the world with. And then he's got the official POTUS one, doesn't he? So which one are we talking?
This is the...
The main Donald Trump. The one with all the racism and the hate and stuff.
I might just double check this.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if it's not at POTUS, if it's at real Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure he's got more.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Verified and checked.
Gotta be thorough. Gotta be thorough.
49.1 million followers. So yeah.
Wow.
I feel like Grumpy Cat would be a good president.
I feel like you'd be a better president, to be honest.
All right. Final one then here. Does Britney Spears have a higher or lower following than Donald Trump?
I'm going to say lower.
Lower than Donald Trump's
following. Lower than Donald Trump, yeah.
It's going so well. Britney Spears has...
Maybe one more time. Dude. It's 1.2 million.
That's actually impressive at this stage of her career as well, yeah.
Impressive for Britney.
It is, because she would... Well, that's the thing. She was huge before Twitter was a thing. She was kind of in the biggest dip of her career, really, when Twitter came around. So, good for Britney.
There we go.
It's basically all your alternate accounts that are following her, though, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, there we go.
I'm just obsessed. Well done, Mike. You won a grand total of 3 points on higher or lower.
Get in.
Hey you, if you're enjoying this show and you want some more, then go and subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AndrewandPeteTV for more awesome videos.
Squirt Gun Justice.
And now we're going to play Squirt Gun Justice with Andrea Val. It's going to be amazing. Here's the rules.
In Squirt Gun Justice, it's Andrew versus Pete. Each of us has to read out an annoying marketing habit wrote by the other person, and our contender has to decide which is worst. Inspired by our current champion, Jay Akunzo, the loser gets squirted in the face.
Okay.
It's really is full of water. When you hold it that close to camera.
It's really impressive. Yeah.
Are you ready to decide who is more annoying, me or Pete?
Yes, this is going to be, I feel bad.
you're way too nice. Right.
Our fate is in your hands.
We don't know what these say either, so this is the first time we're reading these.
Okay.
Trying to read see what one. Pete's go got for me.
My name is Andrew, and I love to send you a sales message in direct messages immediately after connecting.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Oh, God, I like that is this annoying. Reaction. That is annoying.
Okay.
I'm worried mine's not good enough.
My name is Pete, and I add people to my Facebook group without their permission.
That's bad, too. That's bad.
But which is worse, and why?
You know, I think the adding to the Facebook group without permission is worse, because that continues on and on. Then you get notifications, you don't know why, all of a sudden you have to go find it and you have to disconnect yourself. It's giving you more work yourself to get out of that group, and it's a pain in the butt.
Yes, and you know, at least when you get a sales message, you can do a snarky comment back to them. It's safe.
That's safe.
No, it is. It's safe when you're posting a group being snarky, everyone can see it. You know what I mean? Andrea, you're my new favorite person. pleasure in this.
Oh my God. I've won the last few of those, so I think he was getting his own
like a push quite heavily on that huge lever.
Oh, yeah. God.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea, for playing Squirt Gun Justice.
Wrong answers. Here we go, we're about to play Wrong Answers with Janet Murray. Here's how it works.
In Wrong Answers, we're going to ask our contenders some quick-fire questions they should know the answer to. But in order to score a point, they actually have to answer the questions wrong. They have 30 seconds to get as many wrong answers as possible, and the points are given for each wrong answer.
Are you feeling confident?
I'm feeling really confident.
Is Janet ever wrong?
Well, I don't know whether I should say
That wasn't a trick question. Okay, Pete is going to count as an official.
I'm going to be the official timer. So remember, the more questions you answer wrong, the more points you get. So you got to go quick. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Have you ever been to the zoo with Andrew and Pete?
Never, ever, ever.
Have you ever been in the news?
Never, never, what? Never would do that.
What does your membership site teach?
It teaches people how to do karate.
Do you know Tim Lewis?
Never heard of him.
How much time do you spend on your hair?
Oh, about 30 seconds a day.
Should people listen to your podcast?
No, it's rubbish, my podcast.
Complete the name of your book. Your press release is breaking my...
time!
I really wanted to know what you were going to say. What were you going to say?
I was going to say my table. That's not very inventive, is it?
That's so funny.
You done pretty solidly.
That was really good.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. You got 6 correct answers.
Killer questions.
Hello and welcome to Killer Questions, the round where the tables are turned 180 and the eyes are on us. This week we have a question from Simon Raybould. Simon, what have you got to say?
Hi chaps, Simon Raybould here from Presentation Genius. A quick question about podcasting. Do you see it as a way of getting more people to know you, that is expanding your reach? Or do you see podcasting as a way of getting the people who already know you to know you better? So is it about breadth or is it about depth?
Great question there, Simon. Guys, please go and check the Presentations Genius Simon out online. You know, Simon has @presentations on Twitter.
That is amazing.
That is insane. That is insane.
That is just the best. Really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Really interesting question though, right?
Exactly, it is. And I think the answer is it's a little bit of both.
Cop out.
It is. Because if you think about it, a podcast is just the same as any other form of rich media that you create, okay? So if you are creating a blog or a video, you want them to both build that loyalty within your audience that you currently have, but you also want it to start attracting more people and bringing them into your kind of circle of influence. So with a video, you know you're going to want to promote that on social, you're going to want to send people to it via email, and you're going to want to bring people in and get found on YouTube search as well. And it's the same with a blog. You want to get found on Google search. You're going to promote it on social. You're going to send your email traffic to it. And it's the same with a podcast. Okay, so it should be there to both attract new people and build that loyalty with the people that do listen to it, with the audience that you already have.
Yes. And I think whenever you're creating any type of content, they're the two questions that you need to ask yourself.
Yeah.
How are more people going to find out about me because of this bit of content? And how am I creating better relationships with the people that already know me? And you should craft your content around that. So it needs to be solving people's problems. That's going to bring people in, but make it also findable. So make sure you do have a great promotion strategy around that. But then when you're actually creating that bit of content, yeah, use it to strengthen those connections with people. Tell personal stories, let people in, and if you get that mix right, you are going to be rocking.
Now, one of the hardest things with podcasting is getting it found, because the search on podcasting, I don't know, I never use podcasting app to like search for new bits of content. I only ever check it out if someone's given me a recommendation or I'm following a link. So it's hard, but you can get found on there, you can get seen on there, you can get found in the noteworthy section even. But more importantly, is the content good enough so that people want to find it? Is it being shared by the people that are listening to it? Are you shouting and raving about it because it's so freaking good on email and social and so forth? They're some of the more important questions that you need to find. And if you can answer them, then no matter what your medium is for delivering content, it's going to work for you, podcasting or not.
Yes. Do you remember, Pete, back in 2015 when we went to that Seth Godin event in London? And he was actually talking about podcasting and he said it's going to get harder and harder and harder for new podcasters to come in because basically to listen to a podcast, you have to replace one of your current podcasts with a new podcast. And that's what you need to kind of break through when you're launching something new. So you really need to ask yourself, like, is this a remarkable idea? Or is this just kind of following what everyone else is doing? Because if you don't have that reason why people should listen to your podcast over everyone else's, it's going to be really tough for you to get seen or heard in this case.
Yeah, so basically what we're saying is, like, people already have mm-hmm. the set podcasts that they listen to. And if you want to break through, you're going to have to replace one of them, which means you're going to have to beat them. And the only way to beat someone else's podcast is to be either be better or different.
Yes.
So you can either be, you know, a little bit more remarkable and maybe like this podcast, or you can be better. And oftentimes it's incredibly hard to be better than the people that have been doing this for like 10 years already. Mm-hmm. Unless you have some kind of very, very specific niche, then in that case you can stand out. But other than that, it's like better or different.
Can I just also mention at this point the power of a podcast for actually strengthening connections as well? Because there isn't another type of medium where you can be in someone's ear literally for this length of time.
So true.
Yeah, like YouTube videos, you may be looking at 5 to 7 minutes. Yeah, I know, like, you can go longer on YouTube, but really, if you look at the retention on that, like, not that many people are sticking around to like the 31st minute of a YouTube video.
No, but with a podcast, like, you've got some amazing, like, very short ones that are like 5 minutes long, like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
But you've also got very, very successful ones that are 40 minutes long, an hour long, 2 hours long, some of them are, and people listen to it. And if you can be in someone's ear for like 2 hours, that's very, very powerful. And it very, very quickly builds up those relationships and that rapport.
Yes. Okay, so that was a really great question, and I feel like the answer covered way more than just podcasting there.
Yes.
But thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to talk about that, Simon.
Yes.
That has been Killer Questions. See you next week.
This show is brought to you by Atomic, our membership site that teaches business owners like you to do remarkable online marketing. But if you're not a member, you might want to check out our free Backstreet Box. In every episode of this podcast, we're going to add something new into it that you can use to create remarkable content.
In it already, we have the bonus episode that teaches you exactly how to create content that stands out. We have the Canva templates. We have algorithm hacks to get you maximum exposure on social media. We have ebook templates. We have how to reach out to influencers. We teach you how to create an awesome blog with the Build a Bloody Good Blog Blueprint and how to promote it with the Ultimate Blog Promotion Checklist. And now, in episode 8, we are going to tell you how to become a content machine by repurposing, with our full presentation on how to become a content machine by repurposing. Content repurposing is so, so important, because you've created something amazing. You want to drive as many eyeballs to it as possible, but you also want to make sure all the effort is as stretched out and squeezed out as possible. So to get access to that presentation plus everything else that we have put in the Backstreet Box so far, go to backstreetbox.com or click the link in the show notes. Or if you are feeling fancy, go to our Facebook Messenger at m.me/AndrewandPete and type Backstreet, and our Facebook bot will send you a special message to get you access.
Everybody,
yeah,
go down on now.
Yeah,
everybody, backstreetbox.com. Backstreetbox.com.
Blankety tweet.
Welcome to Blankety Tweet, Tim Schmoyer. Here's how we play.
In this round, we've gone way back in the Twitter time machine to find tweets that our contenders have all but forgotten about. But do they know what word or phrase we've blanked out of their own tweets? There's a point per correct answer. So let's find out.
You're looking a little bit nervous at this point.
Yeah, I tweet a lot. I don't even know what I say half the time.
We went back far.
Yeah, we went.
Yeah, because I've been tweeting since what, 2004 or 5? I don't know, like soon after Twitter came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. So tweet number one, not super old, but it is quite old. This comes from the 13th of February, 2015. And you tweeted, "When you think you stepped on Tiki Tak, but it turns out to be old blank, you know your house is well lived in.
Old man. How much time do I have to figure this out?
You're not allowed to go onto Twitter and
look. Yeah, I'm not looking at it. Let's see.
When you think you stepped on ticky-tack, but it turns out to be old blank, you know your house is well lived in.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm thinking right now, I got 7 kids, so, and our oldest is 8, so there's a lot of mysterious things on the floor that could be sticky. I'm just going to go with peanut butter.
Close. It is food. The answer is actually mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. That could be one of them too. It could be jelly. It could be squashed peas. It could be a lot of things.
There's a lot of squashed food in your house.
Yeah, well, just a lot of food falls on the floor. We should get a dog, but I don't think we'd keep it alive since we're trying to keep the kids alive.
Dogs are good for cleaning up messes from
it's
the floor.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I've got P4.
All right, the next tweet is from the 12th of October, 2017. You remember that, right? When you were trying, this is the tweet, when you're trying to shoot a video because your house is finally quiet, but then your neighbor decides to blank.
Mow the lawn.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. I don't know how he knows. So yeah, that's a thing that I think about a lot.
All right, Tim's neighbor, if you are listening to this podcast, highly unlikely, but if you are, please give Tim some heads up.
Yeah, there's just someone in the neighborhood or the airplanes flying over from the airport or something.
Always... Oh, man.
All right, so we got 1 point on the board here.
Awesome.
Okay, here is the next tweet, which comes from the 31st of December, 2017.
So fairly recent.
Fairly recent. New Year's Eve. Parenting mistake number 1,293. Teaching your kids the song blank. Hashtag stop singing. Hashtag facepalm.
Is it the, what does the fox say?
No.
Or it's the lamb chop song or this, or the...
One more guess, and then we'll have to
cut it. It's a very annoying
song. It's a very,
song that doesn't end.
Huh?
The song that doesn't end. I don't remember.
No. This song really doesn't end because it's a really long one, to be fair.
Super close, but it wasn't. It was 99 bottles of Coke.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that. Yeah.
I don't know the lamb chop song, however. I'm going to have to Google
it. It's a song that doesn't... Don't look it up or you will hate me. Yeah, you can look it up on YouTube. This is called The Song That Doesn't End. It just goes on and on, my friend. Wow. I can keep going.
Can we get a tiny rendition?
Some people started singing it not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because it is a song that doesn't end. It goes on and on, my friend.
I remember that song, actually. No. That brings back childhood
memories. I can kind of imagine Andrew singing that in the schoolyard and being really annoying.
I'm going to sing to you every day now.
I hate you, Tim. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I have some.
I told you, you would.
Okay, next tweet. 12th of October, 2015. That moment when your computer is going absolutely crazy and then you discovered your one-year-old in another room with your old blank.
Wireless mouse or keyboard?
Yeah.
I forgot about that, but yeah. I was like, what's going on? And like, why is it just doing its own thing? I use a wired mouse and keyboard because I hate switching batteries. And then, but it was brand new. I just got it and I didn't realize that the wireless mouse and keyboard that came with it were on in the other room. And they were just messing with them.
I can like imagine your like confused face. Like,
I like restarted it. I was like, what? Like, I just got this brand new. And then I was like, went to the room, other room to like do something. I'm like, oh, there's my problem.
They're pranking you before they can even spell prank.
That's hilarious.
I forgot about that. That was pretty fun.
Well done. You get that one. We got two now. Okay. Let's go for a third. The 4th of August, 2019. I want
to... 2009.
Yes. 2000. Yeah. I was on tweet out.
This is the 4th, yeah, from the future. 4th of August, 2009. So yeah, we did go far back for this one. I want to go on a bike ride and burn some stress, but I think I should probably clean the house before Dana arrives home with my blank.
2009, or I don't know, arrives home with my pizza? I don't think so.
We'll give you a clue. It's a person.
My daughter?
Before Dana arrives home with my...
parents?
Yeah, close. Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law.
Okay, yeah. That would make sense. That would definitely be something I should probably go do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go burn off some stress before they arrive.
Okay, you didn't do too bad. You got 2 out of 5 there, which is pretty solid. We went back quite far. So congratulations.
Yeah, I started to think of like, what was I doing at that year? I was like, okay, I was in that state, but yeah.
It took us a while. We went through every tweet manually for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Woo, you guys had a lot of free time.
Yeah. Now it's time for the quickest marketing tip of the week. Starring our amazing guest expert, Ian Cleary.
Okay, put a content-specific opt-in on your blog post. We're getting 30% conversion on your email conversion on the...
And that was the quickest marketing tip from our guest expert of the week.
Hello, is that Mr. Liam Neeson?
I don't know who you are.
That's all right. My name's Ant, and I bet you can't guess what I want. And if you can't guess, you've got to tell me what you have.
I don't know what you want, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Oh, so do I.
Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
Yes, me too. You see, I make podcasts like this one you're listening to right now. And that's why I'm calling, to say if you ever fancied making one yourself, Mr. Neeson, you could find me on Instagram at Ant McGinley.
I will look for you.
Oh, good.
I will find you.
Well, if not, don't worry, you can always try Twitter. I'm there at Ant-Man Loves You.
And I will kill you.
Right. Is now not a good time? Shall I just call back later? Oh, I think he's gone. I'll put that one down as a maybe.
The Slow Fire Round. Welcome to the Slow Fire Round, Carlos Gill. Here's how we play.
In the Slow Fire Round, we slow things down a notch and dig a little deeper. We've got some questions for our contenders, but there's a twist. We're also going to be giving them some words they must swap out with every answer. Say the wrong word, and it's a minus point.
Before we slow things down a little bit, why don't you just tell all of our listeners a little bit about you?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is Carlos Gill. I am a keynote speaker, content creator, award-winning Snapchat storyteller. I'm also the founder of Gill Media Co., and I'm so excited to be here with Andrew and with Pete.
Nice. All right. I'm loving that. You've said that before. Maybe not the Andrew.
That was like rehearsed. Yeah. That was good.
Right. We're going to jump into the questions now, but we're going to give you your first swap word. So for the rest of this whole segment, Carlos, you are not allowed to say the word video. Okay. Sure. And instead of saying video, you have to say candy floss.
Handy floss.
Candy floss.
Candy floss.
Candy floss. Oh, I was looking for a pen so I could write this down, but all right, I'll try to remember this.
Candy floss. And question number one is, what part of your content marketing strategy has had the biggest impact?
I'd say the biggest part of my content strategy has been connecting directly with people more so than anything else. I think using platforms like LinkedIn as a true business directory to identify and connect with who I'm looking to truly do business with, to get in front of conference organizers, that's been key for me. I know there's a big emphasis that's put on content marketing. There's a big emphasis that's put on candy floss. However, I think at the end of the day, you have to look at social media for what it is. It's a gateway to connect with people. If you're not using it for that purpose and you're using it just to put out content, then you really have your priorities mixed up. And I think that's where a lot of people and where a lot of brands fail.
That's interesting. So you're using it in very much a direct way as well.
Yeah, very much direct way. I think a lot of the conversations that you don't see happening that occur in the inboxes, in the DMs, in direct messaging on these various platforms, that's where the magic happens. There's people that consume all of our content. But how do you know if they're really engaged? I truly don't think that a retweet or a click of a button is a true form of measurement. I think that if someone wants to do business with you, they're going to find a way to reach out directly to you. Those are the people that you really should keep your eye on. You should always be making sure that you're checking your inboxes on a constant basis, because you know, I can just attest to it. Everything from deals for my agency to speaking opportunities, they've all arised from people that see my content and then they reach out to me. And if you're not paying attention to where it really matters, which is your inbox, then you could be missing out on a lot of opportunities. I can tell you, you know, for anyone out there that thinks, you know, oh, well, what if someone tweets at me? Trust me, guys, a client is not going to go ahead and tweet at you or comment on your Facebook page like, hey, I want to do business with you. What they're probably going to do is they're going to indicate, you know, reach out to me so we can talk, or they're going to find a way to reach out to you privately.
Yeah, so it's like taking it into that kind of private messaging. You can have a real chat and get to know what the lowdown is.
Yeah. How much or what kind of percentage is it you reaching out compared to people reaching out to you?
You know, well, I have content, yeah, that's flowing on my various accounts throughout the day. So those that content reaches thousands, potentially thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. So I'd probably say it's more of outreach on my part than it is inbound. Mm-hmm. But the inbound I put a high price tag on. Because the inbound responses, and again, not referring to comments, I'm referring directly to responses on in the inboxes. Yeah. You know, that's what I would consider a high value follower. So if you can kind of think of like in a CRM system, if you have a CRM for social media, you have to rank your followers or the people that consume your content. So the ones that are actually reaching out directly are the ones that I put a much higher value on.
Nice. Interesting.
Nice.
Very good. Okay. Awesome, man. Awesome. Next question and the next swap word. So the next swap word is time. So you can no longer say the word time for the rest of this segment. And instead, your swap word is unicorn.
Okay.
So rather than video, it's candy floss. And rather than time, it's unicorn. All right. The next question. How do you avoid overwhelm when marketing your business?
You know, guys, I like to play video games a lot.
You like to play what? Sorry?
Video games?
Do you mean candy floss
you
games?
You mean candy floss games.
Oh, you guys got me.
You were devastated.
I was not thinking in like the social media marketer context. I was thinking, oh man, non-work related.
Caught you out.
So candy floss games. Tell us more about that.
So I like to spend my free unicorn playing candy floss games because it's something that takes my mind off of work.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm one of these people that, you know, I guess you can consider me a control freak. I'm a Leo. I'm an only child. I like to really be in control of what I do. So it's one of those things that when I disconnect from the everyday, playing a candy floss game, trying to get me again, really is just something I can still be in control and I can put my mind onto something that's not work.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's brilliant. So it's just important, emphasizing that importance of taking the time to just, you know, not do work for a little bit, just chill out and do anything that takes your mind off it.
Do you have that time scheduled in, or is it just when you're feeling it, you're going to stop working and go in?
I don't have a schedule. My schedule varies. I spend a lot of unicorn in between airplanes and working from home and working from my office. So it's just one of those things whenever I want to chill out, you know, open up a beer and play some candy floss games.
What's your favorite game at the moment?
I'm a sports gamer. So I play a lot of Madden. I like Call of Duty. There's a game also, it's really popular right now that my son got me into called Fortnite.
Right. Yeah.
That's really exciting.
That's funny. Okay. Awesome.
Right. Okay. Let's go for question three. So your swap word is marketing. And instead of saying marketing, you have to say coloring.
Okay.
And the third and final question is, when it comes to your own marketing, what are you working on right now?
Woo, that's a loaded question. I am working on a coloring academy called Social... I'm trying to think if I can even say it. I can say it. Social Media Career Academy is what I'm working on. You guys see me wearing the shirt right now. And that's really a learning platform and also mentorship platform to go ahead and teach people the tricks of the trade. I've been in this business now for 10 years. I know I've got game. I've worked for some of the biggest companies in the world, including LinkedIn. I've also managed million-dollar budgets. And the space... I feel silly saying coloring, but the space that we're in is something I'm very passionate about and helping to develop next generation leaders. So I'd say that in terms of from a content standpoint, I've made a pivot over the last year away from Snapchat and more onto YouTube and Facebook. So creating more of the consumable content that you would see on those mediums is something that's been a big focus of mine. There's a lot of benefits to creating content on YouTube that I just wasn't finding on Snapchat. And don't get me wrong, you know, Snapchat's a platform where I think you guys might have learned about me on there. It's definitely a platform that I owe a lot of credit for helping me get the opportunities that have been afforded to me over the last few years. But you can't really dispute the SEO value that you get on YouTube, and you really can't dispute the value that you get from things like running Facebook ads either. So I'd say in addition to Social Media Career Academy, it's just growing my presence on YouTube and on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right. Awesome. Thanks, Carlos. We're going to let you say video and time and marketing now. And just so you can tell, and why don't you tell all of our listeners where they can find out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me at carlosgill.biz. You can also go to socialmediacareeracademy.com and feel free to connect with me on any of the social medias. I'm at carlosgill83 on Twitter and on Instagram. You can also hit me up on Facebook. You can find me anywhere. And awesome. I am so thankful to Andrew and Pete for having me on their show. And if there's anything I can do for any of the listeners out there, please don't hesitate to reach out to me directly.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. Go and check out those links, guys. We're going to put them in the show notes. And thank you very much, Carlos, for being on the Slow Fire Round.
Woo. Thank you.
Tool, don't drool.
Hello, Jen Herman. I hope you are excited for Tool, Don't Drool. This is how this one works.
Tool, Don't Drool is a round where our contenders tell us their favorite marketing tool of the moment and why. But they have to do it with a mouthful of water. 5 points are on offer if they manage to tell us their favorite tool, but there's a huge whopping -5 points for any swallowing, dribbling, or drooling.
How long does this description of my favorite tool have to be?
It can be really short, like a few words, a sentence. It doesn't have to be a whole paragraph, don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So okay. It's like...
All right.
My favorite tool is bloody blah because so-and-so.
Okay. Oh my God, right. This is going to be embarrassing. I don't even have anything to like wipe myself up with. This is going to be worse. Like, you should tell me I needed a towel or something. I'm like, you would think usually, as being a mom to a toddler, I usually have something lying around, but I literally have nothing. Okay, this is going to be a disaster. All right, cheers.
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 All right, what's that? Mm. What's your favorite tool and why?
I can't do it. I literally can't do it. I take off the 5 points. I can't. I tried.
I thought you were going to do it then. I thought you had it.
I tried so hard. I was like, nope, it's not going to happen.
What were you going to say? I still want to know.
I was going to mention PhotoFy, PhotoFy, for doing text overlays on photos. But I'm like, oh, photo. I'm like, nope, it's not going to come out.
So is that for iOS, Android?
I believe it's for both. I use Android, so I have it on Android. There's a free version. You can opt to do a paid version, or you can buy certain things if you want additional like stickers or filters or things like that. But the free version has tons of functionality. And for me, I have a branded font, which is Great Vibes. And that font is actually in that app, which makes it super easy for me to keep consistent with all my branding.
Nice.
That's cool. I was going to ask that because a lot of tools that where you can add text, they don't allow you to add a custom font, which is really
nice. And this one has a lot. Like this one has a ton of fonts built into it. And it was convenient that it already had Great Vibes built into it. So that just worked out really nicely for me. But yeah, I know a lot of them are always like those weird, like looks like they were drawn with a marker or there's some like weird font and you're just like, and then everyone starts to look the same. Like that was my issue with WordSwag a couple years ago was everyone used WordSwag and it was so obvious because like everyone's photos all started to look the same and you were like, okay, you guys, like find something new.
Yeah.
Hey guys, Andrew here. If you're enjoying the show, head on over to our Facebook page, Andrew MP, and drop us a message to let us know.
Pick your poison.
Okay, we're about to play Pick Your Poison with Mr. Mark Asquith. Mark, here's how we play.
In this round, we give our contenders two awful, nightmarish scenarios for their business, and they have to decide which they would rather have.
I love it. I love it already.
Right. Mark, we know you run podcastwebsites.com. You have your own podcast, which is awesome. Go give it a listen, guys. But your two nightmarish scenarios are nobody can ever listen to your podcast again, or you can never listen to anyone else's podcast again.
Well, this is kind of easy. This is easy. I'm like the chocolate factory guy because I work in podcasting. I never listen to podcasts anyway. It's like too much of a good thing. So I would take that one all day long. I'm like the guy that just tells people to podcast, then never listens to them. So yeah, I can do without those. I listen to audiobooks.
Go back to reading maybe as well.
Yeah. Oh, calm down. Let's not go crazy.
Too far.
Fantastic.
All right, Mark. Well, that was an easy one for you.
Is it?
All right. Is it? Congratulations. Thanks for playing Pick Your Poison.
It's an easy one, isn't it? I know. I'm like the guy that's got no story. I'm like the straight answer guy. I'm like that awkward brother that just says yes or no to every answer. What a guest.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Hello, Sue B, and welcome to For Pete's Sake. This is how this round works.
In episode 10, Pete, i.e. me, is going to read the final scores from a freezing cold bath of ice cubes. However, in this round, each contender has a chance to save me from one of the bags of ice by answering 5 quickfire questions correctly. They get a point per question, but have to get all questions right for Pete's sake.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Quickfire. 3, 2, 1. Which company bought Instagram in 2012?
Facebook.
Labrador and poodle are breeds of which animal?
Labradoodle.
What does freezing water create?
Ice.
What letter follows D in the English alphabet?
E.
What is 947 times 65?
I have no friggin' idea.
You were doing so well.
I'm not gonna spend time figuring that shit out. Go. What's the next question?
You got four out of...
Perfect.
So...
Great.
Don't save me from a bag of ice. If you've enjoyed this show, please leave it a whopping 5-star review in whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. Please don't make us get on our hands and knees and beg. Andrew, what's this
called? Nobody stays at the bottom for long, Pete. And actually, Janet Murray is nowhere near the bottom anymore. Instead, we have Carlos Gill and Jen Ehrman with 4 points apiece. Mari Smith is on 6 points. Andrea Vahl is on 8 points. Janet Murray jumps to 6th place with 11 points. Tying with Subi Zimmerman, also on 11 points. Mark Asquith has 13 points. Mike Morrison is climbing a little bit. He is now joint 2nd with Ian Cleary. Both have 14 points. But Tim Schmoyer is still 1st place with 19 points.
It's increasing that lead. They're not even that funny though. That was the Andrew and Pete show.
I have no friggin' idea.